I'm kind of curious, Heather. One of the things I was thinking about, because like Rob Dreiser said, well, I've seen four patients. And then I'm thinking, I haven't really heard that much about this from you all. And I was kind of wondering, do you think that maybe there might be cases like this with lung cancer patients where this gets attributed to heart disease or, comorbidities and we're missing it? Heather, any thoughts?
Absolutely. I think that's a real risk. And just like you were hearing about from Justin at Stanford, we also have a group who's particularly interested in immune toxicity focused on different organs. And so there's a big group of cardiologists now who are very focused on this. We're actually looking at troponins in all of the patients who are getting checkpoint inhibitors just because there's so much we still don't know about that etiology. I think for me, where it first got a lot of attention is in the setting of the patients with thymic malignancies who have been getting checkpoint inhibitors on trials. The rates of myocarditis, even fatal myocarditis in those studies were incredibly high, which is why one of the reasons there's so much caution around giving checkpoint inhibitors to patients with thymic malignancies, even though the thymic carcinoma NCCN guidelines list that as a possibility, it's still a pretty risky thing. And in lung cancer, the rates are lower, but I've definitely had a couple of cases. And one in particular was a silent case. We didn't know about it, except we were getting troponins, and they shot up into the double digits. It got everybody very worried. He fortunately did well when we started steroids and stopped his checkpoint inhibitor, but it is something that could easily be not thought of and therefore missed.
Jeff?
At the Brigham and Women's, the service is called the iTox service, and they take care of the pneumonitis and the colitis and all these other toxicities. And what happens is that the physicians taking care, or the PAs, the sort of house staff taking care of these patients, they think that immunotherapy is this terribly toxic therapy and everyone gets terribly sick, right? And so all the ER docs and all the hospitalists think immunotherapy is terribly toxic. And so we've actually had to bring them into the clinic to be like, look, you know, a lot of patients do great. This is a great regimen, okay? It's just, unfortunately, subsets of patients have the bad toxicities and you have to take care of them. And so I do think it's important that these teams, the inpatient teams who see the bad cases, get to recognize the optimism that a lot of patients do great and it's worth it. And so please, like, keep up the hard work of getting patients through these bumps in the road.
But that other part is important too, Neil, because I was worried, I think, when we hear about people who aren't aware of those toxicities, right? So just as Jeff was highlighting the positives, and absolutely for those who only see the negative side, but if we're not making sure people are aware of all of these risks and toxicities, sometimes patients who really are very, very unlikely to benefit are given these drugs with the idea like, oh, well, it won't cause harm. And sometimes it really can. So it's making sure that we all are seeing both sides of it.